I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, a beautiful afternoon for a good game of football now, and it looks as though we have the makings of it.
Barnes has come in. Oh, a fine goal by John Barnes. That's a beauty.
Absolutely emphatic.
And Jay DeMeritt. Oh, yes. Luther Blissett. That's a spectacular goal.
And Helgeson comes in first. Oh, it's a goal.
And a goal. Sensational.
Hello and welcome to the Watford Buzz podcast. Just myself and Tom this afternoon, this evening, this morning, whenever you're listening to us. Jordan Weimer, like Ben Hamer, has been given the day off. So, Tom, FA Cup games. I mean, one of those that you get excited about, but also there's not been a lot to get excited about from a Watford perspective for several years now. So you kind of start to dread them a bit. What kind of camp are you in at the minute?
Yeah, I like the FA Cup. And to be honest with you, we've not had a great record in it of recent times, have we? I looked it up because it's been kind of said a few times, but we've not won an FA Cup game, period, since that semi-final against Wolves in 2019. So, yeah, I approached it with a bit of, you know, kind of not trepidation is too strong, but certainly the feeling that we could slip up. Chesterfield, very good team. They'll be in the Football League next year. As we mentioned, my work means that I keep a close eye on them. And I think a few others will be after the weekend as well, because they gave a really, really good account of themselves.
Indeed, they were very good, weren't they? Very, very good to watch. Let's begin in goal then. And we alluded to it earlier. Ben Hamer not included, given a probably a much deserved break off after his period with the team, doing very well. Backman back in, his chance, his big opportunity to say, oi, I should be the number one goalkeeper. But didn't have quite the desired effects that I think he was hoping for, did he? He wasn't great, Tom.
No, he was always going to lose, I think, on Saturday, because if he had a good game and he did nothing wrong and he made a few decent saves, the detractors, the doubters would say, well, you can't read too much into it. It's only a National League team. And if he didn't do everything perfectly, then people would say, oh, well, that's exactly why he's not in the team at the moment. And I think, to be honest with you, it was probably the latter, wasn't it? It's not.
That's the worst of the two, though, isn't it?
Oh, of course. That's it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, you have to take into account, and as Ismail said prior to the game, you know, he's not played for a while. So he's bound to be a bit rusty. He's bound to be a bit nervy. You know, he is meant to be, as you say, captain, number one. It's one of those spots where it's like, it's my spot. I am the goalkeeper. So when you're taken out of the team, especially for someone like him, I think, you know, has kind of, I don't want to say ego, but, you know, that personality where he really wears it, that, you know, I am the Watford goalkeeper, I am the captain. I think for him, it is a bit of a difficult thing to get your head around, to be suddenly dropped so spectacularly and so publicly. You know, it wasn't like he lost his place through injury. He was out for one game through suspension. So all of that kind of contributes to a lot of pressure being on him. I suspect he probably put a lot of pressure on himself. And it just, yeah, as you say, it was the kind of the worst end of the scale in that respect. I don't think he does as terribly on the goal as people, certainly on Twitter, have made out. But I think there's an element of, we've all got our entrenched positions on Daniel Backman now. So, you know, make of that what you will. Obviously, he doesn't cover himself in glory, because I think he gets kind of a little bit stuck on that near post, perhaps. But you also have to look at the whole piece and say, well, fullback's got to be doing more to stop the cross because it's not a particularly quick cross. It's not like the guy Raheem Shackelford has kind of haired down the right-hand side. He sort of sauntered down the right-hand side there up against James Morris. And in the middle, you know, Sierra Alta and Tom Delibashiri between them managed to let Joe Quigley, who, by the way, has scored a lot of goals this season for Chesterfield whilst not starting very many games at all, allow him a free header. It's, you know, it's easy as anything. So I think Sierra Alta has to take at least the same kind of portion of blame that Batman has. But yeah, not a good day for him at all. And you know, I put a tweet out after the game about kind of winners and losers. I think he was by far and away the biggest loser from a Watford perspective.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you said there that he started out as... you know, coming in as like the captain number one, but he actually wasn't the captain for that game, was he? The manager Ismael decided to stick with who as the captain for this game, and he put out a statement sort of explaining his decision. He says I felt it was important. Dan was able to focus on his own performance today because he hasn't played for a while, and there was no need to add any extra pressure. That statement says a lot in itself, doesn't it, really?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I'll start with a positive here because I think I can't remember us ever doing this as frequently as we have this season, getting these little snippets and the quotes and tidbits that say, this is the decision and this is why, and just sort of dealing with it head on from the outset rather than kind of going around the houses and, you know, trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. You know, Ismael, for all his faults, is big enough and ugly enough to go, this is my decision, this is why I've made it, and I'm sticking with it. And if you've got questions, I'll answer it like an adult. So I've got a lot of time for him for that and a lot of respect for him for that. And this was the latest one. And actually, I think it was the right decision, to be perfectly honest, because on two levels, because first and foremost, he's right in what he says. To come back in with all the things that we've just discussed and perform, you know, he needs to focus first and foremost on his performance. Being captain takes a lot out of you. There is a lot of additional pressure and expectation attached to that. But also, I think he needs to be shown that it's an honour. It's something that you earn as well as kind of being given. And, you know, if you've not been playing, then I don't think you can expect to waltz back in as captain when you hadn't necessarily been performing prior to that. So, yeah, I think it was the right call. But it probably didn't kind of elevate him, help him as much as Ismael would have hoped. And I think, you know, I'm going to answer a question you haven't asked, but I would be surprised now, between now and the end of the season, apart from cup games, if Backman plays again, unless injury suspension forces him back into the team. I really do think it is now Ben Hamer is number one on the depth chart, so to speak.
Yeah, but Backman does sort of strike me as a player who's very much based upon how his mental state is. And if he's not happy or feeling confident, he won't play very well. Whereas there are other players out there who,
yeah,
they will just play, you know, pretty consistently every game. It might be rubbish every game, but it's not going to change based on how they're feeling at the time.
No, I know exactly what you mean. I think you're right. It's you know, I think to some extent every player is affected, right? And as you say, some of them can kind of shrug it off, decompartmentalize what's going on in their personal lives, how they played last game, how they played in the first half, whatever it is, if they've made an error, and just kind of go, that's gone, we move on, best foot forward kind of thing. But I think he plays... it's a confidence position anyway, and I think he really plays on the edge of that in terms of the kind of emotion. I think sometimes you see the best of that when he makes saves that other goalkeepers wouldn't, and sometimes you see the worst of that when he makes errors other goalkeepers wouldn't, or kind of ends up charging out his goal and getting a needless booking because he's so riled up about a decision that's gone against Watford. So I think emotive, you know, he is an emotive character. Certainly, you know, don't know the guy, never met the guy. This is based purely on watching him. But yeah, I totally get what you're saying. And I think that is potentially, or has proven to be and potentially continue to be, a problem for him.
Okay, then the FA Cup, Tom, it's one of those competitions that often youngsters or players on the fringes will get thrown into, like Backman, as we've just discussed. Who else was given that opportunity and who shone in that game? Who took their chance?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, certainly. I think we made five changes, wasn't it? Wrote them down earlier. So obviously Batman for Hamer, Delibashiru for Andrews, Sierralta for Porteous, Asprey for Kayembe, and Healy for Ravish. To be honest with you, I don't think it was a good day for most of them, really, was it? We obviously kind of picked apart Batman's performance. I think Sierralta, as I say, didn't have a good time of it on the goal and just generally didn't look at the races. I guess the other one to really talk about is Rhys Healy. Yeah, yeah, exactly. He's coming for a lot of flack, and I think that's a little bit unfair, if I'm honest. I don't think he had a good game by any stretch of imagination. Just don't think he was at the races. He looked off the pace, and it's hardly surprising. He's played 111 minutes this season in the league across various substitute appearances. This was his first start since the League Cup, I think I'm right in saying. And, you know, that is no way to kind of get into the rhythm of things from a sharpness point of view, a fitness point of view, just getting your head in the game. And I think a bit like Batman, he probably went in thinking, right, I've really got to prove a point. This is my chance. You know, if we go out today, conceivably I don't get another proper chance this season. So, you know, a lot of kind of pressure I'm imagining he would have put on himself or would have felt. And it just didn't go right for him. And I think he wasn't helped either, it's worth saying, by the fact that he was playing up front his own. He's not huge. He's not particularly strong. He's not a physical presence in the way that someone like Bayo is. And I've yet to see it, but my suspicion is that he would be better in a front two, which, you know, was an opportunity he didn't get. And then we finally go with two up front towards the end, don't we? Because Hurtado and Rajovic come on, and Healy's the one to make way because he's got double cramp in both calves, which, you know, again, I think speaks to the fact that he's not... He was not ready to play, what was it, 66 minutes or something like that. So it's a bit of a catch-22 for Ismael Gueye, because on one hand, we've all been kind of calling to see more of him and saying, crikey, if we're losing this home game and we're not bringing Healy on, then when is the opportunity that presents itself that he is the right man for? But at the same time, he's clearly not fit to play any, or, you know, match ready to play any kind of great length of time. I could see it being one where he maybe goes out on loan for the rest of the season, because I don't think, you know, if they believe in him at all, and they evidently do because they signed him pretty early, then, you know, I don't think it does anyone any good him getting little piecemeal kind of outings here and there, a few minutes here and there off the bench. So I wouldn't be surprised if we moved him out on loan at some point this window if the right opportunity arises.
Watching him trying to head the ball out of the air was comical. It was comical. The ball was being lumped up to him and he was there doing his best to jump against the, you know, the 6'3" defenders who he was up against. There was no chance. There was no chance. And you could see him kind of like doing his best, really trying. But, you know, he can't grow. And that's not his style. That's not his game. So he was actually doing the holding up role. Not too bad, to be honest. He was pretty, I mean, better than Rajovic does. He was receiving the ball, playing it off. But he wasn't getting those through balls that he wanted. Probably played better in a two, but unfortunately for him, he didn't get the opportunity because he, just when he was about to get that chance, he got injured and they had to switch it around. But sad for him because it could have been his day, and now I feel like less injuries, which could happen, he won't get too much more time on the pitch.
No, I agree. That's the thing about these cup games, isn't it? You know, you see it, I've said it before, I know in the League Cup, when it's kind of prior to transfer window, you think, well, that might be the last time you see that player because they'll get shifted out. And I'm not saying that he'll get shifted out for good, but you would reasonably assume, given his usage so far, that he's not going to suddenly change Ismael's mind either about his own abilities or how we have to set up and play with a two, because we've not played with a two from the start all season. So it really is up to him to kind of fall in with the system and the style of play. And I haven't seen anything in admittedly limited minutes to suggest that he will. So yeah, I do feel sorry for him, but as I say, I can definitely see that being one where he gets moved out on loan for the rest of the season and reassess it in the summer.
It's hard because he's been asking for a chance. He's been given the chance and he's not taking it, but has he really been given the chance?
No, that's exactly what I think. That's exactly how I feel, I should say. we arguably don't really play to his strengths at all in that sense, do we? You know, a lot of our players trying to get the ball into that forward player and play off him, or going down the flanks and then kind of coming inside, you know, slipping through balls through, kind of playing at pace and kind of countering at pace is not really what we do a lot of the time. Yeah. So, yeah. The other one that obviously came in was a spear for Kayembe, which meant check for Tadze going back into midfield, having played on the left at Plymouth. And I thought, spear, yeah, you know, no one did well in the first half. Let's be clear about that. They were all kind of better in the second half. And it was a great delivery for the Rajovic header to draw us level. Yeah, it wasn't any better or any worse than anyone else for me, to be honest with you. But overall, I think it was probably one more isn't there. Deli Bashiri for Andrews. Again, out of place at right back. And I see that Ngakoue is kind of still being couched as a long-term injury. We've got to sign a right back this month. If we do nothing else, I think we've got to sign a right back, because Andrews has been fantastic, but he's still very young. We need that cover. And it shouldn't fall to Tom Deli Bashiri. I think he's good enough to play in midfield. You know, he's not kind of making up the numbers as a right back. He's good enough to play in this midfield, particularly whilst Kayembe's away and loses out of form. But in the second half, obviously the change was Andrews coming in, freeing up Deli Bashiri to go back into midfield. And I thought he was probably our best player. I know Jordan was very high on him and you know, said, you know, he's really kind of nailed his colours to the mast as an option to take up one of those number eight roles while Kayembe is at AFCON with Congo, and I couldn't agree more. He was fantastic. I thought he took the goal really, really well, the little kind of shimmy of his hips to make that space in. All right, he gets a little bit lucky with the deflection on the finish, but you know, to get in the area and kind of create the space for himself, I thought he did really well. He had another chance prior to that where he came in off the left and crashed one in towards the bottom corner that Ryan Boot pushed around the post. You know, he wanted to get the kind of be positive as soon as he got on the ball. That was his intent throughout. And yeah, I thought he was really good. So if anyone was a winner out of the changes, it was him based on the second half.
Yeah. They took their goal really well, Chesterfield. Watford started the match probably the better of the two initially. They had about 10 minutes, I think, Watford, where they really should have taken advantage of the space they had and the fact that they were just, you know, the better quality players. Two missed opportunities, and it felt like it might be one of those games, Tom, where you know, we'd lose out once again. But this team, there's something to like about them. They stick together a bit more, and Valerian certainly has to, you know, take his share of the credit here, because he got them playing better in the second half, and it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a season-defining game by any stretch, but it was the kind of game where they just sort of, I don't know, showed they cared a bit more than previous iterations of this squad have.
Yes. I think there's, you know, it depends if you're a glass half full or a glass half empty sort of person, sort of take that sort of outlook on life. Because, yeah, first half, they started well for the first sort of 10 minutes. There was the Kone chance, wasn't there, where he kind of robbed Miguel Freckleton, went through. He never quite looked comfortable going through. He kind of was looking like, who can I give this to that's in a better position, and realised he was just going to have to take the chance himself, kind of allowed himself to get too close to Ryan Boot before he shot, and keep saves, and then Martin's, you know, fairly tame header looped up. But you know, pretty much from then on, I thought Chesterfield were the better team, and I thought it was right. In I make their assistant manager Danny Webb right in that he said we played our normal game. We could take optimism from this game, the games ahead. We take so much heart into the game, into Wednesday now. The gaffer said he wanted to leave here today with people saying what a good football team we are, and I think they will. And I think that's true, because they made changes, and you know, credit needs to go to Derbyshire. I'm reading the Derbyshire Times for that quote. Chesterfield, because they did play their normal game despite making changes and try and take the game to us as best they could. They didn't just kind of camp in the box, in the edge of the box and defend. And Watford looked like they thought it'd be easy, you know, that they thought they could stroll to the win, that they're, even with the changes, their superior quality would tell. And that's the bit where you have to be glass half empty and say, that's not good enough. I thought we were past this. The glass half full, as you rightly say, is that whatever Ishmael said at half time clearly worked. We know the changes that made, and mentioned a minute ago, Tom Deli Bashiri going into midfield, Ryan Andrews dropping back in at right back, and the impact that had. But, you know, Ishmael said he had to essentially have had to have a go at them. I had to get loud at half time. And Wes, who kind of backed that up and said that he had a few words to say as well. And I think, you know, we've praised them for that plenty of times, but for scoring late, for fighting back. And I think if not top, one of the top teams in the championship for goals in the last 15 minutes. But you don't always want to be doing that either, do you? Sometimes it would just be nice to come out at, you know, 90%, take the lead and build from there rather than having to come from behind. Because we saw, you know, against Plymouth that kind of going behind, we had to keep coming back from behind to get a point. It's not a given that we go behind and then we win. So there's a result. There's some positives to take from that aspect in there, but you know, also we do need to be avoiding situations where we fall behind. It's that simple, and we're not keeping many clean sheets. Is the other thing I wanted to say. Sorry, just on top of that, you know, as well as Ben Hamer has done, and I'm not for one second blaming Ben Hamer in saying this, but the last clean sheet we kept was against Rotherham on November the 11th. That is something and we've not kept many this season at all, to be fair, but that is something.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thing that generally needs to improve as well.
Right, we now come to the standing agenda. Mileta Rajovic and how he keeps scoring goals despite not particularly doing much else. In some ways, Tom, I actually prefer this version of Rajovic, the Rajovic that comes on late, grabs the winner, grabs the equaliser in this case. But I prefer that role for him far more than the role of the starter.
It's funny, isn't it? Because, yes, I totally get what you're saying. I think he's quite good at that, being the kind of sniffer, Johnny on the spot type. He's not a brilliant finisher, but he's definitely not a bad finisher. And if our other strikers were better, then he probably would do that more often. But despite his shortcomings, the other strikers aren't better or aren't at least more prolific in the case of Bayo. So he ends up playing quite a lot. I think the thing with Rajovic is it's going to kind of, you know, there's a Rajovic-ometer, and it go one week it's, if he doesn't score, it's he's the worst striker ever, he's the worst football player ever. And if he does score, the kind of pendulum swings to, well, we know what he is and we know what he isn't, and he scores goals and that's all you can ask of him. And I think both things can be true at the same time. So I don't think anything's going to change drastically with him. I think he's still kind of learning, and to that end, there was a quote and something that I was unaware of, shared on Twitter this week by one of the Watford accounts. I apologise, I can't remember who it was. They dug this quote out from a Danish source, basically saying, until a year ago, I was part-time in Næstved, something like that. Don't know how to say that word. It's a club. And lived at home with my parents to minimise costs. I know that I am not the finished product and I feel that I have much more in me. I must admit, I didn't realise he was part-time until that recently. And I think, you know, if that's your kind of upbringing, that's your kind of route, despite his age, you know, he's not old, but he's not young either. He's, what, 24, I think? You know, as I said with... Yeah, 24. As I said in defending James Morris last week, when we kind of had that question from Rupert, the point is kind of minutes, and, you know, minutes at a certain level count perhaps more than your actual age on your passport. And he is, I guess, young in experience terms. So there needs to be a little bit of patience there. The unfortunate thing is that he is still our most reliable source of goals. So patience is kind of fairly thin on the ground in that sense. So I think in what we've seen in his limited career so far, you know, Kalmar and Watford, if we just take those two into account, is that he is a reliable goal scorer. He's probably somewhere near a 1-in-2 striker, which is, you know, which is the kind of golden mark, isn't it, to be hitting. So some work on the training ground on those other things and kind of improving his experience of what the championship is about and the kind of physical aspect, because I do think for a bloke that's 6'4", he really, you know, and it's not a particularly revelatory thought, but he does clearly struggle with that side of things. It's gonna take time, but I think everybody likes he's got a bit of a backstory and a bit of spunk about him, and he wants to be a success, and he scores goals, and he's a bit unorthodox and what have you. So I don't think we should be writing him off either. He could be a useful tool in a better kind of collection of forwards. But at the moment, we're just having to kind of utilise him more than we might need to at this stage of his development.
Yeah. We spoke in the last pod about the fact that he hasn't got an assist yet. Well, on Saturday, he did get an assist to an assist, which is, you know, one step closer to his non-assist. So,
yeah.
But has it been blown out of proportion, or was it actually, you know, good work on his part, and it demonstrates that he's getting better in that area?
Yeah, I think a bit like Batman, and, you know, I said, can't get too carried away because playing a fifth tier team. I think there has been an element of that, but I think it also shows that he's not completely incapable, right? There is not a case of a complete and utter technical deficiency where the ball just bounces off him any time it goes near him. He can do it in the right circumstances. Maybe the fullback at that point, I think it was Brandon Horton, Brandon Horton's left back. I'm not sure if he was the one marking him at that point. You know, maybe doesn't get tight enough or doesn't get strong enough, physical enough with him. So there's an element of he can do it in the right conditions. So, you know, those are things that are teachable, though. I do think that's something that's teachable. You get on the training ground, you know, even if it's just 1v1, and, you know, get with a coach and fireballs into him and have the coach up behind him and say, right, trap it and lay it off, and just work on that. You know, that is totally, totally and utterly teachable. So, yeah, I think there was a positive in that. And, you know, although he wasn't one of the guys that came into the side, he came on, and he was probably a bit of a winner against all expectations.
And starting to score a lot of headers as well, something that we haven't had for a little while in a yellow shirt.
Yes. Well, how long do you think it is since we have had a player that has scored as many headed goals as him in a season? He's got 4 now, headers. And the last player to score more than him got 5.
Am I supposed to look at like a centre back? Is that right? Or are we looking at someone like Cathcart or someone? Or?
No, it's a centre forward.
A centre forward
in the Potts era.
Who scores
era.
Headers?
That was the last player to score more headed goals than him.
Who scored headers in? Oh, I can't think of many headers of the ball that we've had in recent times. Deeney certainly didn't get many with his head. Maybe Odi Ighalo, maybe.
Well done, you. Yes. This is via the Google page for the game where they compile a few little stats. So four of Ravic's 9 goals in all competitions this season have been headers. The last player to score more such goals for the Hornets in a single season was Odi Ighalo in 2014-15 with 5 headers. So the season we went up for the first time under Pozzo.
Yeah, he got a whole load of different types of goals, didn't he? That was probably his best season for us in terms of a striking output. But, Oh, well, that's nice.
So there you go. Good knowledge, though. Well worked out.
Well, I mean, it's not difficult. We didn't have many strikers that could head a ball. So
no,
I just remember that he got a couple that season. But five, I didn't realise it was 5, to be fair. So fair play to him. Okay, then, moving on. And we got to see our first sighting of a player that some of us weren't even sure if was still on the books or what was happening. But Jorge Hurtado, the Colombian, who had recently been out on loan at the New York Red Bulls. Firstly, Tom, do we know if he did much there? Did he set New York alight whilst he was there? And what did you think of his appearance against Chesterfield?
I think the two things, you know, kind of are linked here and inform one another. He only played, as far as I can tell, and American sports kind of do collate this data much better than we do. He only played 117 minutes for New York Red Bulls first team across 5 appearances. 4 of those were as a sub, and he actually spent most of his time in MLS playing for their second string Red Bull, New York Red Bulls 2, and their kind of next gen competition. So it got a decent amount of football out there, but it wasn't all kind of first team level football. And I think that, you know, needs to be taken into account when we say it wasn't his best. It wasn't a kind of, oh my God, what a display, he's the answer kind of performance. But I think we saw a little bit of something there. He was, you know, he wasn't shying away from doing things. He obviously got the assist, played the ball inside for Tom Dele-Bashiru to score the winner. But yeah, you know, he looked a little bit lightweight at times and what have you. It's clearly going to take time, but he's someone, you know, if we say Rajovic hasn't played much football, then Hurtado's played kind of even less, hasn't he? Because we signed him as a young player from Colombia, and, you know, he's still only 20 and he's not got very much football under his belt at all. Kind of, you know, 30 odd appearances in his whole career at this stage. So he is young. It's going to take time, but he's one that they evidently see potential in and promise in and hope to polish up and sell on. So I think the fact that he's now here and was involved suggests to me that he will be involved between now and the end of the season. And given we only play one up front, if you've got him, Healy, Bio, well, after suspension, and Rajovic, I don't think we can really expect to bring any other forwards in unless someone moves out, because 4-1 is 3 unhappy forwards.
And you think they could make the argument that Healy can go out on loan now because Hurtado's come in?
Quite possibly, yeah, quite possibly. I mean, I guess there's an argument to say that, you know, if you believe in him and you want him to succeed here, then you would want to only loan him out if he was going to go and play in this country anyway. What's the point of loan? You know, for example, knowing that he came from France, what's the point in loaning him back to France? A French club, you know what he can do there. He's proven what he can do there over a few seasons. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. It's not based on information or anything like that. It's pure guesswork. But I do wonder if that could be something that happens probably quite late in the window, as these things tend to with us.
Do you think Hurtado will develop better at Vicarage Road than he would do going elsewhere?
Yeah, by the same token, I think he does. You know, if they've got hopes from playing in this country and hopes for selling him in this country, because that's where we'll get the most money for him in the long run, then he needs to be playing and performing in this country. But Bayer and Rajovic are quite clearly the kind of 1A and 1B striker at the moment, so his opportunities are probably going to be fairly limited.
You see him as a striker then, rather than as a winger?
I think he probably will be maybe in the long run, and maybe it's a case of kind of doing your apprenticeship as a wide player in the interim.
But I think he looks more built than someone like a Spreer, for example.
That's it, exactly. He's kind of 6'1". He's not small by any means. Quite good in the air generally, by all accounts, and you know, can use his body. So I think that's where he'll end up playing the majority of his football. Yeah.
Okay, nice. And you know, impressed with what you saw with some of his touches, his
passing.
There were
little bits and bobs, as I say. I think it's a tough game to throw him into, isn't it? You know, cold FA Cup upset, raucous Chesterfield fans, fairly flat Watford fans, mix and match team. It was not an easy game to come into for him, but, you know, he certainly didn't let himself down. I just think, you know, showed that little bit of kind of being a bit green and a bit naive at this point. But he's one I'm excited to see more of, certainly.
And in terms of bringing anyone else in, we've identified right back as a place that we should be looking at. Is there anywhere else that you would consider?
I think, you know, most fans would turn around at this point and go goalkeeper and striker. I just don't think we're going to do either of those. So if we bypass those, I think the next one for me would be another centre-back, because I think Sierra Alta gave a fairly poor performance and we know that he is made of wafer. Porteous has had his detractors this season. I think Cahoot has at times had his detractors this season, and yet he played again because he's the only properly left-sided centre-half. So my answer there is another left-sided centre-half. And I've said before, and I'll say it again, I wouldn't say no to another winger, because I think we've got kind of horses for courses, but they all have detractions as well, and I think a lot of our play goes through them. So yeah, I would say another winger if I could be greedy.
Slight disappointment, just from a personal point of view, that Pollock didn't get any more game time. Felt like it was a good opportunity for him. And also we had a young lad on the bench as well.
Jack Greaves,
who also didn't get any game time. So yeah, but I guess the way the match played out, they weren't gonna get put on, were they?
I think that's a game state thing, isn't it? Ideal world, we're 3-0 up after 50-60 minutes. Greaves and Pollock probably both come on and get a nice little chunk of minutes, but just wasn't to be for them, was it? I wonder if Pollock's another one who maybe go. If we sign another centre half this month, I think Pollock could be one that would move out on loan or move on for good, because he's just not had a proper look in here, and he's been here a couple of years now, so possibly not progressed as hoped.
Okay, cool. Let's move on then. This Sunday, and yes, Sunday,
yeah.
Watford will make the short trip to Loftus Road to face QPR. 12 o'clock kickoff in front of the cameras. Haven't been in front of the cameras for a little while now. A nice little opportunity for people who don't often always know where to get the streams from to sit back and just enjoy a bit more coverage.
Yes, Sky job, isn't it?
Indeed.
I must admit, I was scrabbling around trying to find somewhere to watch the
FA Cup one. It was difficult. Very, very difficult.
It was, yes. I'm a good law-abiding citizen, will say no more than that. back on Sky, and to get back to the point, QPR going through a little bit of an iffy period, aren't they, insofar as the whole season has not been good, but after Gareth Ainsworth was sacked at the end of October, Marti Cifuentes came in and they only lost one of their first six under him, but they've not won since the 9th of December, a run of six games, and they've only scored twice in that run, the 2-0 up against Bournemouth in the FA Cup at the weekend and lost that as well. They just don't score many goals, to be honest. You know, don't really offer much attacking threat. So having said, we don't keep many clean sheets, it would be a good day for us to start bucking that trend and get a clean sheet. 11 goals they've scored since Cifuentes came in, which is the third lowest in the Championship. And that is only just behind where they kind of should be in terms of their XG, which is the third worst in the Championship over that period of games, 12.68. Their top scorers, Lyndon Dykes, Kenneth Powell, the left back, and Chris Willock on three each. So, you know, they're not a good team. They're right where they probably should be in a relegation battle. I would strongly hope, that we can go there and put them to bed. We certainly owe them one for the absolute abomination of a performance there last season in Chris Wilder's first game in charge.
Our home form has been a bit sporadic, hasn't it? We've drawn quite a lot and lost, you know, a few that perhaps we shouldn't have done. But away, we've been pretty good, actually. One of our best seasons away that we've had for a little while. Hopefully that will continue against QPR.
Yeah, it's funny how it goes, isn't it? Obviously, 2023 was such a wretched year on the road for Watford fans. We were actually unbeaten in four away now, three wins, and then that chaotic Plymouth draw. And we've only lost one of our last eight away league games, which was at Leicester. No great shame in that. And we've only lost four away from home. Well, only, you know, we've lost four away from home this season, which actually isn't as dismal as you might think. So, I think QPR, we've got a little run of games here now, actually, where you think, let's kind of keep that up in terms of away games. QPR obviously struggling. Bristol City, we know, are a decent side and picked up under Liam Manning, but Sheffield Wednesday are obviously in that kind of battle at the bottom of the table. Norwich are not having a great season. Rotherham are not having a great season. Millwall are not having a great season. Birmingham away, which I'm planning to go to. I mean, obviously, this is now the middle of March we're talking about, but they're kind of been iffy under Wayne Rooney. They might pick up now. They've got a proper manager in charge in Tony Mowbray. But yeah, there's an opportunity for us to continue picking up points on the road. And if we can sort the home form out as well, then suddenly you go, actually, maybe we can kind of catapult ourselves back into the sort of playoff picture. But I'm probably getting ahead of myself there, given we are... looks at tables for only 4 points actually off the playoffs, which is
a couple of games ago it was a lot closer, wasn't it? But a couple of draws didn't really help us. Victories would have got us firmly into the playoffs, but some good teams in there, to be fair. I think I'd be pretty content to for a first season in charge from Valerian to finish around where we are now. It's not bad, to be honest, given what we were fearful of at the start of the season. It's not too bad.
Oh yeah.
QPR though, lots of worries on their minds at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, as I say, kind of started really well under Cifuentes, and it's just gone off. I think Elias Chair is injured, who's one of their kind of better players, and they've just not been scoring. Two goals in the last six, which is a pretty wretched record. I suspect they will try and do some business in January. But, you know, you look at their kind of forward options. Lyndon Dykes has never been prolific. Paul Smith, certainly not prolific. Sinclair Armstrong looks a good young prospect, but, you know, young, emphasis on that. And then those kind of midfielders, you really are pinning a lot of your hopes on Willock and Chair to get the goals. And if they're not scoring, I wouldn't look at the rest of that midfield and say, oh, there's other players that can chip in there. So, yeah, I would say if we are serious about kicking on and building on the momentum we had created, then we've really got to be going there and sticking it to them.
Right, OK. Well, let's hope that we do that. The FA Cup draw is coming up. What do you want from the FA Cup draw? As we speak, it's going to happen in about half an hour's time, so probably won't be able to comment on it. But what do you want, Tom?
I would like a winnable home tie. Home so I can go and winnable, because build momentum, and it'd be nice to have a little cup run, wouldn't it? I think it always injects a bit of excitement into a season where you've not got otherwise particularly high hopes. So yeah, a nice winnable home draw, someone fairly boring would be absolutely fine.
I would love Luton or Bolton.
Why Bolton?
Well, because that's who Luton have to replay against, isn't it?
Of course it is, yes.
So home tie, obviously, but home tie against Luton, fantastic. Let's take him on. Let's see if they really are as good as they think they are. And if it's not them, if it's Bolton, then a bit more of a test than what we got previously with Chesterfield, but still a good opportunity to test a couple of guys on the fringes and see if they're up to a Bolton side who are doing pretty well this season.
Exactly. No, I'd quite happily avoid Luton, but Bolton would be... I'd file that under a boring but winnable tie.
They did well to get the draw against Luton, to be fair. So
they did. They're certainly no mugs. They're not a bad team at all, actually. But it'd be certainly be a step up, I think, again from Chesterfield. But given that they're flying in League One, just behind Portsmouth. But I would file it away as one that we could win and progress from, certainly.
Or Wrexham. Because then you're getting the money, right?
Depends, doesn't it?
No, you don't think so? You don't think that that would be an automatic pick for the television coverage? I mean,
most of their games are, to be fair, aren't they? So, yeah, maybe it would be. Maybe it would be.
Okay, then. Thanks very much for joining me, Tom. Hopefully we'll have a full complement back to talk about the QPR game. Oh, I do love FA Cup. It's coming around again soon, isn't it? Is it late Jan or early Feb or something like that?
Yeah, late Jan this year. So, yes, that'll be... mind you, given how thin the squad is, let's hope we've got a couple of new faces in by then.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Okay, then. Thanks very much, guys. We will see you again soon. But until then, follow us in all the usual places. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.